Chapter 24. Wednesday. Wednesday rose bleak and wet. Sarah left her bike, dressed in her gray London fog and a wide-brimmed hat, and took the bus across the bridge to Manhattan, where she caught a subway to the village. Police tape still sealed Bachman's front door, but the techs had done their work. The hardwood floor had been scrubbed clean, leaving a broad stain, slightly lighter than the rest of the floor. Techs had gone through the entire shop, performing inventory as well as looking for clues. Sarah bypassed the shop and pushed the button for the phone booth-sized elevator. She wanted a look at the private Bachman. She took the elevator to the fourth and top floor and emerged in a cozy study/office, with a bathroom on the left and a bedroom on the right. Obviously, where the private Bachman spent most of his time. An English Renaissance desk looked out on Worth Street. The elegant oak desk had brass handles and a banker green blotter on top, a set of Waterford writing pens, and a journal. She checked the bedroom. The bed had been neatly made. Four amber pill bottles sat next to the bed alongside a decanter of red wine, a glass of water, and a copy of John Adams, the new biography. Bachman's copious closet contained a selection of conservative, tailored, three-piece suits, dozens of long-sleeved white and pastel shirts, most with linked cuffs, and two dozen shining shoes arrayed in battle formation. Returning to the den, Sarah sat down and began to read. In precise script, the antiquarian listed his diet. On the morning of May 29th, he'd consumed a half pint of 2% skim milk, Mark's dairy, an onion bagel from Einstein Brothers, and a schmear of low-fat cream cheese. Sarah was grateful for the banker's diligence, but found little of interest. She skipped ahead. Monday, June 7th. Bob Hotchkiss phoned, anxious to unload the muramasa his father brought back from Iwo Jima. "I am reluctant. These things have a reputation, after all. And it has no papers." "Excuse me," a querulous female voice rang out. Sarah's first thought was, "Witchblade, why hast thou abandoned me?" She stood, adjusting her face to its bland, public persona. A woman had stepped out of the elevator freighted with two rope-handled shopping bags jammed with food. The woman was in her mid-30s, stocky, dowdy, her short brunette hair pasted to her forehead by the damp, her designer glasses misting. She took them off and stared at Sarah with small gray eyes. "What are you doing here?" Sarah produced her badge. "Sarah Pezzini, Homicide South. I'm investigating Mr. Bachman's death." "And you are?" The woman stepped forward, extending her hand. "Leisha Bachman. Thaddeus was my father." "What's going on?" "The police won't tell me anything. The coroner said my father had his head cut off." "Is that true?" Sarah mentally kicked herself. She should have contacted Leisha by now. "Miss Bachman, I apologize for not contacting you sooner. We're a little understaffed right now." Leisha held up her hands. "Oh, please. I'm glad you're taking the case seriously. I've heard of you. Aren't you that cop who was involved in catching the vampire killer?" "Yes, but for the record, he wasn't really a vampire, just a nut job with a goth fetish." "So, where are you living now?"
"Newton, Massachusetts.
I'm a schoolteacher. I had to hear my father had been killed on the evening news." Sarah hung her head in shame. "I'm so sorry. That should have been my first priority. I'm working the case alone."
"Don't worry about it. Just tell me what you've found."
Sarah briefly recounted developments and her theory. "When you arrived, I was looking at your father's journal. He'd just recorded the arrival of a muramasa. I believe that's what the killer was after. But why did he have to kill my father? Why not just sneak in when there's nobody here and take it? Maybe he couldn't get in by himself. Maybe he had to have your father admit him. Maybe it was someone who knew your father, and had made an appointment. I'm not much help, I'm afraid. I don't know about his business. Did he indicate anything peculiar to you recently? Anything out of the ordinary?"
"I'm sorry. There was nothing unusual."
"When did you last see him?" Now it was the school teacher's turn to hang her head in shame. "About a year ago, I came down and he took me to this fancy society party at this place on Fifth Avenue. Very swank. One of his clients, I gather. He was trying to impress me. He was always trying to impress me, I don't know why. I loved my father. We just weren't very close, that's all. Do you remember who hosted the party?"
"It was Scott Chalmers, I believe."
This was new. Scott Chalmers had not been in Bachman's Rolodex, but here at last was a connection tying them together. Both murdered men knew each other, connected by their interest in Japanese swords. There had to be a pattern, if only Sarah could see it. "Do you know the nature of your father's relationship with Chalmers?"
Dad sold him some paintings, silk screens, wood prints, I believe. No swords? None that I know of. Sarah recalled that Chalmers had bought his sword in an online auction. The boys at Lab had had Chalmers' computer for 3 days now. They ought to be able to provide her with copies of his emails, including the heated exchanges with the collector whom Chalmers had outbid. Did your father ever buy anything online? Leisha Bachman shook her head. He didn't even own a computer. I tried to get him interested, but he was too set in his ways. Sarah gave the woman her card and asked her to phone should she discover anything of interest. As Sarah boarded the elevator, she looked back. Leisha Bachman was seated alone at her father's desk, going forlornly through the drawers.